Welcome to My Smoky Mountain Guide with Mark and Ann Bowman.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'll have you know it's fall and it is football time in Tennessee.
Okay, ladies. It's football time. You're just going to have to...
Oh, I forgot. That's a completely different show.
All right, then we won't talk about football this show.
All right. Speaking of different shows, we're going to have a little bit of a different show today because we're going to talk about moonshine.
And wine, shine, and cider.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Now, I want to start this off and by really pointing out that we do not endorse over-imbibing.
Oh,
we don't.
Heavens no.
And as a matter of fact, this is going to sound sort of strange because we're talking about moonshine today. I'm not really a fan of moonshine.
Well, it's like swallowing a blowtorch.
There's so many people that love it. They do because they come over here in droves. And it's really the elephant in the room, isn't it? Because there are moonshine places and Tennessee winemakers and cider
and
shops.
Cider and
all but, over the place.
But, you know, these people really know how to promote their businesses because I'm telling you, I haven't run into better graphics, better decorations, better.
Yeah, their shops are really.
They're incredible.
They're really amazing. But it didn't start out that way. I mean, when you think about moonshine and you think about Tennessee, North Carolina, it. You think Appalachia, and there was a lot of that illegal moonshining going on, but it really wasn't illegal to make it, was it?
It was only illegal because the government taxed it, and they didn't want to pay the taxes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now we're starting to meddle. Now we're starting to meddle because these people were just making homemade
corn liquor.
They were making some moonshine. They were drinking it at home, and then they decided, you know, sometimes they would make a big batch of it. It was really good, and so people wanted to buy it from them, and so they would sell it, and then the revenuers came around.
Yeah, it was seen as a luxury, so I reckon you tax luxuries.
I guess. So they were sticking it to them. They were trying to tax them, and then they decided, well, I'm just making a little bit of side money off my crops and stuff. They didn't want to pay it, and so they started making it late at night up in the mountains.
Under the moonshine.
Under the light of the moon, the shine of the moon, and it became moonshine. Now, that's not what it had some other names, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, white lightning. That's, I think, one that people are familiar with.
Yeah.
But
one of my favorites in this list, we've got a whole long list of them, is Skullcracker. I don't know why, because I think if you drink enough of that stuff, it's going to crack your skull. But it's Skullcracker.
Jet Fuel. I hadn't heard that before.
I hadn't either. Now, I've heard of Hooch. They called it Hooch.
And Sneaky Pete.
Yeah. That Rot Gut. Of course, we've all heard that.
Yeah, they're Donkey Punch.
Donkey Punch. And Dog Rot. Or White Dog. Hillbilly Pop.
Yeah, it's got a reputation.
Yeah, there's some other names. You go Hillbilly Pop. Okay, now if you're from up in the South, we don't call soft drinks pop. I think that's more of a Northern term. We call everything Coke.
Coke.
Everything's a Coke. So what flavor of Coke do you want?
Well,
I'll take a
Pepsi.
I'll take a Pepsi. It's all Coke down here. But anyway, one such soft drink or pop that was created in the Knoxville, Tennessee area is what, Ann?
Good old Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. The famous green bottle with all kinds of crazy graphics and lots of caffeine. And
The original bottle, I think, had a... country hillbilly, either running with a gun or I forgot what it was.
Really?
But yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I've even seen those bottles.
No kidding. Wow. You know, if I just hang around with you.
I know you can learn a lot.
I, I was going to say I learned something, but yeah, I learned a lot.
Yeah, you do. Every day, folks, he learns something.
Every single day. Every day. But Mountain Dew, now, the Mountain Dew soft drink sort of, how do I put this? I don't want to say they stole the name, but they sort of took the name from the old-timey moonshine that they called it Mountain Dew. That was a nickname for moonshine, was Mountain Dew.
Well, yeah, but I think that I'm glad they did.
Yeah, so it's okay. So now you've
moving
got,
on.
All right, so that was a rabbit hole, and we got probably going to be on a number of rabbit holes. That was a couple of all of the different names, and then the Mountain Dew.
Well, once you start learning really about the history of moonshine and what resulted from it, mm-hmm. it's imperative that you go down some rabbit holes.
Yeah, it really is fascinating because it is a part of Americana. It's history. And speaking of that, we're going to bring it up here in a little bit and tell you about there's a moonshine museum that's in the same building as one of these moonshine distilleries. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so for right now, we'll go back to... Okay, so they're making this booze. It's illegal. And then you got the taxation issues. And then later you come to 1920, because all that started back in the 1800s. And so fast forward to 1920, and you got
prohibition.
Oh, yeah. So for the next 13 years, America just didn't have any alcohol, did they?
Oh, they got it. They got it.
Yeah,
they got it in speakeasies. They got it from rum runners, from bootleggers. It actually, the Prohibition Act actually made things worse.
Yeah, I think the nature of man,
mm-hmm.
the theologian that I am, the nature of man is wickedness and rebellion.
Yeah.
And you tell them they can't have it and they want it.
They're going to figure out.
They're going to figure out a way to get it. So you had an increase in gangs. I mean, when you're looking at Al Capone and some of these gangsters and the mob came up, and people started. So
they called it a loophole. And one of the things was you could get alcohol if you used it medicinally.
That's where I was just getting ready to say that.
And yeah. So the number of doctors increased substantially so they could prescribe alcohol.
And one of the pharmacists is still around today, one of the top three, I think, Walgreens.
Oh, yeah.
The number of locations that they had skyrocketed during Prohibition because they could fulfill. And this is my understanding. This is the research we had. I don't want Walgreens to call me and say, hey, you better, you know. This is what I understand is they really grew their business when a lot of doctors were writing prescriptions for booze.
Yeah. So, and you could get it, I think, every 10 days. It's fascinating, y'all, to what the Prohibition Act, what it brought forth.
Yeah, because a lot of people, basically, they wanted, they wanted to drink some wine. They wanted to drink a little beer with whatever, and
yeah,
and the government saying no, you can't do that, and they found ways to do it,
and the other thing that was so fascinating about it was they would have to transport it, and they would do it in obviously in their cars, but then the police would come after them, and then they had to build cars that could go faster, and it brought forth NASCAR.
Yeah, a lot of people may not know that, but the stock cars were cars that
were souped
that had
up.
Been a lot of the cars had been modified. You had years and years of this, where the cars were modified to fill them up with the illegal booze, and they were running it, so they became
and outrun the police.
Yeah, so they were moonshine runners, and now they did that a lot in Knoxville. There was Kingston Pike. There's a famous song about Kingston Pike because it was known for its running booze and things like that. And they called it Thunder Road, like from down from Kentucky to from Appalachia down to Knoxville. And then they'd get on Kingston Pike, take it out west. There's another road that would take it over into North Carolina through the mountains, through the Smoky Mountain Park. So it was a really big thing. So then back in the 1930s, some of these guys that were used to driving these stock cars, which were basically modified vehicles that came off the line, they went to Daytona in the late 30s, and they just started racing on the beach.
Daytona 500.
They were racing, and that became Daytona 500. Then it became NASCAR. And so we can thank NASCAR. We can thank Moonshine Running for NASCAR. So
that's well, sort you can of actually go back and thank Taxon from the very beginning of it. It all just one thing happened after the next, and I found it fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, we don't want you to get over here. If your intent is to come to Tennessee or North Carolina and just lose your mind, we don't want that.
Well, so. And that's to say that every establishment that we walked into that sold any form of alcohol, no one is drunk. You know, it's not a...
Yeah. So anyway, we can't say that enough. We just don't want you to do that. So, but we do want you to come over and see everything, see the history, go to the museums.
Yeah.
We actually want you to go in and taste it. If you like it,
there's free tasting, y'all.
Do it responsibly. So, now there are two trails.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Tennessee whiskey trail, and basically it's a collaborative effort. There's 30 Tennessee distillers, and they want to promote whiskey tourism to Tennessee. Go ahead.
If you go in for the different stores or shops, I don't know what you call them.
Outlets. We'll call them outlets.
Outlets. That we'll let you know which one of them has this passport that you can get. And you can actually, not all of them are in East Tennessee. They're spread all the way to West Tennessee. But you get a passport and you get it stamped. And then they'll give you a poker chip with their logo on it. And then if you collect them all, you can...
I think you get a t-shirt if you do that or something.
Yeah, you can get all the information on TNWhiskeyTrail.com.
Yeah, TNWhiskeyTrail.com. That's the Tennessee Whiskey Trail. So, but as we went into a number of these places, we picked up some chips and different things like that. So it was pretty neat. Now, another thing is the Tennessee Wine Trail.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's different than the Tennessee Whiskey Trail. And you can find more information about that at TennesseeWines.com. And they've got a similar thing going on with them. So as you go through, you can get a stamp and collect all the stamps. And I think, can't you?
I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe they'll hear this and they'll say, ooh, we got to get a stamp. So, and let's talk about some of the places we visited, because it's not just about, oh, the history and everything.
No.
We want people to know about, now there are way more than the ones that we went to.
Yeah, but, and we only hit the ones on the Tennessee side.
Yeah, we didn't go to anything in North Carolina. This is all in Tennessee. But the first place we went to is called Junction 35 Spirits, and that's in Sevierville.
Yes.
And it is on the Tennessee Whiskey Trail, and it's located at the Tanger Outlet. Now, I was really surprised about that.
We went in, y'all, and it blew us away what this place looked like. It was so bright and cheerful and huge.
Now, when you think of a distillery or something like that, you think of, you know, it's going to smell like maybe the spirits or something like that, and it's dark, and now a lot of the places we went into, they had that woodwork, dark look and all that. But this
which
was
is
not,
fine.
It's some of them are beautiful. But Junction 35 Spirits was really, it was just like you described. It was bright and airy and clean and just.
And the graphics will, and I keep talking about that. I have a background in graphics, and I noticed that first off, and you can tell that they really did this up sharp. You go in, and the bar is a U shape, and on one side is the where you can get samples, and well, both sides you can, but the other, one side is all of the merchandise and everything, and the other side is a dining room.
It's a restaurant.
Yeah, a restaurant where you can go in with your entire family and enjoy the food, and they have special.
They had good food.
Oh yeah, we went back because on the first Thursday of the month, they have live music,
and we happened to be there on a Thursday.
We happened to be there on a Thursday, and so we went back and got an incredibly delicious brownie and coffee. And it looked like there were regulars there that would come in. And it was just a really relaxed, everybody knows your name kind of place.
Now, that particular Thursday, we were there because of our anniversary.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, so we were there because of our anniversary, and we had already had dinner. So we just went in and had a little bit of a dessert with coffee. Both were delicious. It was good. The other thing is they do sell items other than, you know, of course you had the restaurant with all the things that you can get in there, but on the opposite side they had like jams and sauces. I bought something, it's a bourbon glaze barbecue sauce, for because I'm really into smoking meats and all of that kind of stuff. I make my own barbecue sauce, but
y'all, it's good.
I have to say it's pretty good. I'm constantly having people asking me to sell it, but I keep telling people there's so many ingredients in it. I would have to charge an arm and a leg. And they were like, well, it doesn't matter. We'd pay it. So anyway, tooting my own
horn. That was a rabbit hole, y'all.
That is another rabbit hole. But so they do sell at the Junction 35 Spirits. They sell things like barbecue sauce and jams and jellies and
souvenirs, t-shirts.
There's all kinds of really cool stuff in there.
But we were greeted by Lisa, Celeste, and Kale. And those people loved being there. They were delightful.
Yeah, they seemed to be happy.
Happy.
You know, they liked their jobs.
Yeah, and I found that throughout all of the outlets that we went into.
Yeah, the people there they really did enjoy their
jobs. They want to be there.
And I don't know. There was one place we went to. I know you're probably going to bring this up later, but she lives miles and miles and miles away.
Yeah.
And she drives to Gatlinburg. Now, it's not easy to get to Gatlinburg from a lot of places in this area, over the mountains, through the woods kind of thing. But she drives every day that she goes to work. She drives a long way to get there.
Yeah.
But she said, I just love my job.
Yeah.
I just love it. So anyway, so that's Junction 35 Spirits. Now, they've got more than one location.
Yeah, they're in Pigeon Forge also.
Yeah, so they're in Sevierville and Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Did we go to both of those locations?
We did.
I thought so. They're both really big. They're really big, but they're just really clean and
It gives you the. You don't want to say the other ones are not clean because they are, but with all of the white and the openness and the not crowded, but still a bunch to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right. So moving on from there, we went to a place called Tennessee Homemade Wines and the Tennessee Cider Company. Those are all in one location at
the Tanger Outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said before, I was sort of surprised because you don't think of the distillery being at the Tanger Outlet Mall, which is a huge destination.
I mean,
there are, oh my goodness, there are lots of folks shopping at the
it's Tanger an attraction,
Outlet.
Y'all.
Yeah, it is. It really is. that's a different podcast altogether, but there's a lot of stuff going on at the Tanger Outlet. But Tennessee Homemade Wines, when I think of wine, I like a good red wine, dry. I like dry wine.
You can have the entire bottle.
well, that wouldn't be good for me.
Well, I mean, I don't want any of it.
I know what you meant. But some, most of these places that are making Tennessee wine,
it's sweet.
Most of them, not all of them, yeah, they're making really, they're making fruit wine. Which
it's sweet wine.
There's really sweet wine. And
I'm okay with that.
Ann likes that.
Muscadine
Her sister
wine.
Likes it. I like the, on the drier side, I like the Riesling. Most people think that Riesling is a sweet wine, but it doesn't have to be. There's some dry varieties of that. So,
Anyway, back to.
Let's go down rabbit hole number three.
Okay. Well, when I went in there, I wanted to know what hard cider was. And there was a young man there called, his name is Parker, and he was so helpful.
He was one of those guys that just,
I know,
really liked his job.
I know.
And he told us he did.
Yeah.
It's interesting how you talk to people about these kinds of things. But anyway, he was like, oh, yeah, I love my job.
Yeah.
It's fun. The people are nice. The customers are nice. It's just so really, really nice guy.
But hard cider is actually, it's alcohol, but it's made from fermented apple juice. And then to get the different flavors, like I found out that I love the pineapple hard cider. And so pineapple juice is added to the apple cider.
Yeah. The way they make it is they add a little bit of yeast to apple juice, and that converts the natural sugars into the alcohol. And so now it's got an alcohol. It turns apple juice into an alcoholic beverage, usually between 4, 5, 6% alcohol by volume. And, you know, that varies a little bit. But then after they make that, that's when they add the pineapple, or what are some of those other ones?
Blueberry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Blueberry cider and all
blackberry,
that. Yeah.
Peach. I'm finding that hard cider is my go-to.
Yeah, I like it. It's not my favorite.
And the bottles, I've got to talk about the graphics at this place. It looks like a wild boar on the front of it. And the one that I have, he's got pineapple around him. If you get a blueberry one, there's blueberry. It's the labeling is unsurpassable.
It sounds like a weird thing for us to be talking about.
I know.
I tell you what, if you see the graphics on these bottles, they are so cool.
You can buy the bottle not for what's inside, but for the artwork.
Yeah. Now on the cider, they have. You remember the old bottle caps where you could like once you open it. Of course, it's got some fizz to it. So in order to keep it, where you can drink it later, because you're not going to drink the whole thing at once. They've got this little cap on it with a metal. I can't hardly describe it, but it's.
I'm surprised you even started it.
I know, but that's me. Anyway, it's got a way. It's got a really cool way. You go to the website because we're going to have a picture of this bottle, and you'll be able to see that. But the way to keep it closed is pretty cool. So, anyway,
and I found out that the Tennessee Homemade Wines and the Tennessee Cider Company, they're also linked with Smokin' Banjo, which we discovered later on, and the Old Mountain Wine Company. I mean, there's a lot going on over there.
Yeah. Yep. All got all three of those places, or four of those companies. They're all owned by the same outfit.
Yeah.
And so they very consistently great graphics.
Oh, my soul.
And really a good variety of different type of drinks.
Yes.
So that was good. Now, another place we went into, and this is
still in the Tanger Outlet.
Still in the Tanger Outlet Mall. So you could see four of these places just by going there. The Smith Creek Moonshine. And I think that's all the way in the back, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
it's,
so.
It's in a corner. Anyway, it's in the Tanger Outlet Mall. But it's called Smith Creek Moonshine, and we met a couple of guys in there, three fellas in there. So, Alan, Cody, and Curtis.
Uh-huh. And Curtis, he looked the part.
Yeah.
And Cody, he, I got into a conversation with him about his boots, and y'all need to go by and ask him about his boots. I'm not going to tell you. It is he's a quite a young, talkative young man and a delight to talk to. But the decor, remember they had that big old red truck inside, and then the bed of the truck turned into their bar on both sides.
Yeah, big American flag.
It's real woodsy and it feels like the place. Okay, this place sells moonshine. It's the look.
Lots of wood. Lots of just. It's a really cool place to go into.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the names of their moonshine flavors. The one called Sweet Tea. It's closer to a Southerner's heart than his gun.
Well, that's pretty close. Sweet tea moonshine.
And then butter cake. It was like Paula Deen in a bottle. And my favorite was chocolate silk. So rich, we almost named it Donald Trump.
That's funny.
But they're a delight. The store is practically, I mean, just go in.
It's a completely different feel than the first one we went into, because it's not brightly lit and all that kind of stuff. But it's one of those.
It's woodsy.
It's really warm.
Uh huh.
It's one of these places where you got to go in just to look at it.
And outdoorsy.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And definitely all American. Fun.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Shine Girl.
Yes.
All right. Now Shine Girl. This is actually we left Sevierville and we were driving back to Maryville. And we passed Shine Girl, and we're like, oh, Shine Girl.
There's Shine Girl.
It's like, oh, wow, there's Shine Girl. And we knew about it, but it was like, oh, we need to go in. So what's the big deal about Shine Girl?
The owner is Danielle Parton.
Parton?
Oh, yes.
I've heard that name before.
This is Dolly Parton's niece.
Yes, Dolly Parton's niece, Danielle. And so she's quite a character. Now we didn't meet her.
No.
But we heard about her. You can't go in there and not hear a little bit about
her. If you go to shinegirl.com and really go, because you're going to find out about this young lady and it will blow your mind.
Yeah, she's quite something. She's been a flight attendant. She was a pilot in the Air National Guard. She's flown C-130s and C-5s and combat and stuff like that. So she's something else. And then
her theory about her moonshine that, I mean, they're making it. It's all their recipes is if women will drink it, men will buy it.
Well, you got to figure that
out. All of them are sweet.
Yeah. You got to figure that. Yeah. And again, I tasted one or two, but, cause they'll give you a little bitty taste of whatever you want to try. But it's just not my thing.
Well, I told you, if women will drink it, men will buy it.
Yeah, and she's really got some flavors that are more geared toward women, which maybe that's a sexist thing to say, but I'm not intending that to be. That's what they're saying. So they're trying to make it for women, and so.
What did we find fascinating about the bar, though?
It was like it had. Pennies, really shiny copper pennies embedded in the bar.
Thousands of pennies.
I don't know how many there are, but you got probably a 20-foot long bar, maybe. I don't know. It was long. And then several feet wide.
Well,
and the whole thing was just embedded with pennies. So it was something.
But it was also sort of away from the hubbub of Sevierville. And it reminded me again of a place where you locals frequent it and everybody knows your name.
Yep. Shine Girl. That's a lot of locals go there. But anyway, moving on from there. Hey, Tennessee Shine Company. That's also, they're in Sevierville and Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and Ware's Valley. So we went to at least two or three of these, didn't we?
Yep. This is the place that had the Moonshine History Tour.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, y'all, if you go to Sevierville, you go here and you see this.
Yeah, because the museum that we're talking about, it's really cool. They actually have a NASCAR car in the museum. They've got a little theater where you can go sit and watch it's a movie that just, it's on.
All about it, the gangsters.
Yeah, it's on a loop and it keeps going. So you can see, wherever you are, you just sit down and you can watch this movie in a loop. And they've got all kinds of interesting information about in history. Anyway, it's really cool and it's free.
It's free.
It's free. So you can go in.
And Donna is there to help you. She's sweet.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of history there, and they've also got a place where you can buy bottles of moonshine, but they've got little tasting stations where you can go in and with your group, and you can just taste different varieties or different flavors before you buy. Of course, that's it's all these places.
Yeah, tastings, free tastings. It's
free tasting. So we did meet a number of people at these places. And they were all fun. We did meet one guy for the Tennessee Shine Company at their, I think it's their original location in Ware's Valley. And his name is Ben. And Ben, we found out he lives in Maryville, not too far from us. He's just around the corner. Probably not around the corner, but probably about 2 miles from our house. So we're practically neighbors.
And, yeah.
But it's a great place where you can just sit out on the porch.
Yeah.
Sit in a rocking chair.
It was, and we also met Rhonda and Katrina and Wanda and Michael, all of them just delightful people.
Yeah.
Loving their jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, remember that decanter we saw that was shaped like a pistol?
Yeah.
And all the little shot glasses were little derringers.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was just too cool.
They got a lot of fun stuff to buy in these places.
Mm-hmm. And they were also the Tennessee Shine that had the state of Tennessee and it, with those three X's in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's chase that.
Okay.
The three X's.
The three X's.
Yeah, because, in all the old movies, you see these jugs with the triple X on them, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I know what that is, but where'd that come from?
It refers to the distilling process, because the first, they're saying that the first time it passes through, it doesn't smell too good. And so—
Yeah, it's that fermented mash.
Yeah, and then they have to run it through another time. And it only comes to about a 30 or 40% alcohol. And so they have to run it through a third time, and that makes it almost 100% pure alcohol. So when you see XXX, it means it's pure 100% alcohol.
It's gone through all the distilling processes.
Uh-huh.
And really, you don't want to drink that.
No.
Just like that. You don't want to drink it that way. That's a little bit over the top, but
it's still fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's Ware's Valley. So we've got Tennessee Shine Company. That's on Ware's Valley, going from Pigeon Forge over to Townsend. So Townsend, when you get to Townsend, there's a couple of different places over there. And the first one is Cade's Cove Cellars. Now they've been around for a while. We talk about Cade's Cove Cellars. They have one of the coolest logos, and it's an award-winning logo. It's got a bear in the mm-hmm. logo, and the mm-hmm. nose is a wine bottle, or mm-hmm. not a wine bottle, like a wine glass. It's very subtle, but once you see it, it's like you can't stop seeing it. Not see it. It's really cool.
And the top of its head is the mountains.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if you just want to go to CadesCoveCellars.com and look at their logo— It's worth a trip to their website to see that, because it's really cool. But let me tell you, the owner, I think the owner's daughter went to California and got a degree in winemaking and came back, and they opened the wine cellar, and they make award-winning wine.
Oh, gosh. They have won tons of awards.
It's small batch. They make it all right there in the building. And they've expanded a little bit because I noticed that they've got more capacity there. But their wines are absolutely delicious. The Cades Cove Cellars. If you like wine, you need to go there.
Yeah, go there.
And try their Riesling. Is really, really good. I could go on the different things that they've got there. But anyway, you need
they
to
also opened another place on Wares Valley Road in Sevierville. So that's
That's right. We haven't been to that one. It's an outlet. But where they do sell it, I think it's all produced there in Townsend, but they've got another store there. So the person that we saw there this time was Jasmine.
Yeah.
She was sweet.
Even though it was time for them to close and more people were coming in, she stayed just to help everybody.
Yeah. So that's Cave Cove Cellars. Cades Cove Cellars. I'll get it out in a minute. And then the other thing is Company Distilling.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of new. It hasn't been
around. It's new to us.
It hasn't been around a long time. I think they opened in 2022. It's been around for maybe a year or two. Yeah, a couple of years. What's the background on that, Ann?
Well, it's when I saw Company Distilling, I didn't really catch on to a name called Company Distilling. And then I went and found out that when the pandemic hit us, you're sort of estranged from people. People don't come and visit. You don't have company. And so they wanted to make it to where you were going to serve the best bourbon, sorry, to your company. And so that's where the company comes from, actual people together as company, distilling.
And the difference between this one and the ones that we've been talking to prior is that they're not into moonshine. They're making really high-end bourbon. So they're making really, really nice bourbon. So the guy that we met there, Kirk, I think is his name. Yeah, Kirk. He's very knowledgeable. Really nice. Everybody's got to be nice. So he's just a really nice guy. But he knows a lot about the bourbons. And I'm not somebody that wants to sit down and just take a shot of bourbon.
It's an acquired taste.
It's just really rough. Now, I have in the past, you know, like mix it with like Coke or something, you know, like that. So, but I tried just a couple of tastes of bourbon, just neat. Without anything, just straight up, and it was actually pretty good. I found that it wasn't like crazy, like burning, the moonshine just totally no. The bourbon was pretty nice. That was good, but the other thing is, it's really a beautiful building. All of these places, they really put a lot of money into it. That's called Company Distilling, and that's in Townsend, and that's also on the Tennessee Whiskey Trail. So you can get your stamp there if you want to. Now, the next place, we've already talked about Junction 35 Spirits in Sevierville at the Tanger Outlet. They do also have another one in Pigeon Forge.
The one in Pigeon Forge, I'll have to say that train that they have on the wall, the art of the painting will blow you away.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. From there, we went to the Old Forge Distillery, and that's on the, of course, this is another one on the Whiskey Trail. The Old Forge Distillery in Pigeon Forge is a smaller little place, but I will say this. I tried some just straight up bourbon, like I just mentioned at the Company Distillery in Townsend. And then they had one that they had just released like the week before. It was brand new to the store. They had just finished bottling and all that kind of stuff. And I tasted that, and honest to goodness, it was the smoothest bourbon that I think I've ever tasted.
Out of the two that you've tasted, it was the smoothest.
I tasted more than that. It's just, it's been a long time. Okay. It's been a long time. But this one, it was just like, wow, I just couldn't believe it. So the Old Forge Distillery, the Old Forge Distillery is next to the Old Mill. It's part of that whole area.
Old Mill area.
In Pigeon Forge.
Which, and they're also on the Whiskey Trail.
Yeah. So they've got all kinds of stuff in there. I know it gets old. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, but each and every one of these places is unique, and the decor is really cool.
Yes.
It's really cool. Now, we also got another place, Tennessee Shine.
Another Tennessee
also
Shine.
Has a location in Pigeon Forge. And we met a couple of people, Regina and Jay Dollar Sign. I don't know what that means.
Well, they were nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Paul is in the back and he takes you through how you make moonshine. I mean, and that's when I first saw that when it's coming out of the still, I mean, it's just as clear as water. You could mistake it. I could see somebody.
Yeah. You wouldn't mistake it once you put it in your mouth.
No, though. You would not. When he said his moonshine is 135 proof and said it would make you take back what you didn't steal. I found that just too funny.
That's funny.
Okay.
I don't know what it means, but we laugh. Okay.
Well, you're out of your mind.
All right. All right. Now, another location for Tennessee homemade wines is in Gatlinburg. So as we went into Gatlinburg, this is on the Tennessee Wine Trail. It's the first place we went to in Gatlinburg. And they got a sign out there that says, Bottled in the Woods Under Southern Law, Tennessee Homemade Wines, made in the right good town of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So this is another sweet fruit wine that they're selling. They've got a cigar cabinet in there where you can buy cigars. And
Kyle was our bartender, and just again, I'm using the word delightful, but I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, all good folks. And another place in Gatlinburg that we went to was called the Smokin' Banjo.
I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, and Ann plays the banjo.
No,
she hasn't played in a long time.
But I'm going.
She doesn't think that she's any good at it. But
well, I'm going back, and I'm getting the T-shirt of that toad frog playing a banjo. I've got to. Again, graphics.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool T-shirt. The Tennessee Cider Company, again, they've got another location in Gatlinburg. And there was a guy named Jared there to help us. Another nice guy. One of the last places. No, it's not the last place we went to. Old Smoky at the Barrel House. I think Old Smoky Moonshine was one of the very first legal moonshine distilleries in Tennessee when they made it legal some time ago. And they've got a few locations, but they've got one called Old Smoky at the Barrel House. And
they're on the Whiskey Trail.
Yeah, on the Whiskey Trail. Now, this place here is busy, busy, busy. And they've got T-shirts with Popcorn Sutton. We haven't mentioned Popcorn Sutton, but
no, we
he was a famous moonshiner. And he just, you know, I don't know, probably been arrested a million times. But anyway, he's not around anymore. But Popcorn Sutton is a very famous moonshiner. They got pictures. They got T-shirts with pictures of him on there.
I have to say, though, the reason his name was Popcorn.
Yeah.
Because he was frustrated and attacked a bar's faulty popcorn vending machine with a pull cue.
So what a way to get a nickname. You beat up a popcorn machine. So he was an interesting character, but anyway, he's, what can I say more about? I don't want to get into Popcorn Sutton. Anyway, he's an interesting character, but he's no longer with us. Another place we went to was the Gatlinburg Winery, and they've got a cotton candy wine.
Yeah, the building is pink too. Everything is sweet. It
It's right on the parkway in Gatlinburg. You can't miss
it. Yeah, all of these places are on the parkway.
Yeah, look for the pink building.
Yeah, they have a huge selection of sweet wines. They've got world-famous cotton candy wine. Mm-hmm. Jay and Lisa will help you. They're there to sell you what you want.
Yeah. Now, we got two more places we want to talk about. Or actually, nope. I keep saying that. We still got a few. All right, but we need to hurry. We've been going on a while. The Tennessee Stud Cider House. This is in Gatlinburg. It's on the parkway, and it is like you walk in there and you feel like you're walking back in time 150 years. It's just got chandeliers on the ceiling. It's got
massive bookshelves that they've put wine on instead of books.
Cider. It's a cider house.
I take that back. Takesy backsy.
Okay. Anyway, it's a really cool place, and the person that helped us was Autumn, and she's real sweet too. But anyway, Ann bought her pineapple hard cider there.
Yep.
And we've still got the bottle. It's a really cool looking bottle. And the Elkmont Winery, of course, Elkmont is an area of Great Smoky Mountains National Park, so that's a famous name. It's another store. Got beautiful chandeliers, got elk antlers hanging from the ceiling, river rock columns.
That's where we met Peyton, who drives such a long, long, long way because she loves her job.
Yeah, I think she lives in, I'm not even going to say where we think she lives because I know about where it is, but I don't want to reveal that. She just drives a long way to get to work. And Sugarlands Distilling, it's on the Whiskey Trail. Sugarlands.com. Now this one's they've got a location in Kodak as well, but you can see the distillery right there where they make it. Just really nice place.
Another cool building.
Yeah, they've got live music, back porch cocktail bar, and Jennifer is really helpful there. And two more places. I think I can really say we've got two more places, right?
It seems like you've really been wanting to get through this.
Well, we've gone a pretty long time, so.
Okay, it's the Old Smoky at the Holler.
Yeah, on the Tennessee Whiskey Trail.
This place is where Jason and Josh are on the distillery side, where they can answer all your questions, and you can see all these big, massive containers of mash, and it's just fascinating to see the distilling. And then that's on one building in itself, it seems. And then you go across this area to where you can taste the moonshine and all of the stuff is for sale. But in between, there's a music. There's an area where there's a stage, there's mm-hmm. chairs,
mm-hmm.
and you can just sit down and listen to live music. Really, yeah. Really cool.
I think this is their first location, if I'm not mistaken, for Old Smoky, because they've got several locations, but I think this is their very first one.
They got the Barrel House, the Holler, and the Barn. The Barn's in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then we've got Bootlegger's Homemade Wine, which is on the Tennessee Whiskey Trail. Is that right, or should that be the Wine Trail?
Be the wine.
Yeah, the Bootlegger's Homemade Wine is on the Wine Trail, bootleggerswine.com. They also have a location in Pigeon Forge. And we didn't get to go in this place, but it was full. There was just a lot of folks in there. But it's just one of those things where we just wanted to bring this to you and talk to you about it because it's, like we said, it's the elephant in the room. They're everywhere. If you're not into moonshine, or if you're not into wine, or if you're not into hard cider, it's still interesting. There's still a lot of history there, and we think it'd be worth your time just to go check out at least one or two of these places
and
see what it's like and have a taste. Maybe you might like something.
And the pictures of all of these places are on the website.
Yeah, we took a lot of photos. So go to the website, mysmokymountainguide.com, and click on the podcast, and you'll see it there. We'll have links to their locations and some of their websites and things like that. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. But I know you didn't enjoy as much as we did because you need to go in order to have as much fun as we did. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time
on the Smoky Mountain
Guide podcast.
Bye-bye.